Welcome to the Westside Gathering podcast. We appreciate you making time to learn and grow with us. Here you will find teaching from our live Sunday gatherings. After the message, we'll say a little more about our church and how you can connect. But for now, have a listen.
Sometimes we don't get to see the impact that Kids Quest makes in our church ministry and among other people. And sometimes we don't get to see all these stories. I have maybe a special vantage point to kind of bump into so many different people and kids and opportunities to hear this. There's a 10-year-old boy in our church. He's been probably part of our church community for 4 or 5 months. And how he arrived here is so fascinating to me. About 2 years ago, his aunt started coming to our church, and she joined Alpha and was exploring faith and growing. And maybe a year later, her sister showed up. So this boy's aunt, he was never here at this time, she shows up. And so two sisters are part of our church now together, and they're older. And then about 6 months later, a third sister shows up. And this happens, she has a grandson. And maybe a few months after she started coming, her husband started coming. And so they started bringing their grandson. And he started coming, and he just expresses such joy and appreciation for Kids Quest. And on Easter Sunday, he brought his dad to come explore Jesus with him. He's brought his mom. And it just amazes me that this environment, sometimes we don't see the incredible impact that takes place. One of the kids saw one of the leaders in the lobby one day and just went up to him. And this leader is probably a more quiet type leader, but this young kid went up to him and said, "Oh, you're so funny," you know? And I saw just the leader's face light up, you know? And sometimes we don't recognize the impact that some of our mentors and leaders make in people's lives. It's incredible. Sometimes we have people visiting from other churches. A couple of weeks ago, we had a kids pastor from a church on the South Shore visit us, and he was just visiting, and he just expressed incredible appreciation for how his kids experience our kids' ministry, you know? And I just love that. 3 weeks ago, we had grade 6 graduation, and a couple of our leaders set up a pizza party for them, and it was happening in the other room. That Friday night, prayer and worship was happening here. Youth was happening on the other side. And to see these kids, first of all, they started our prayer night with us, and we heard them sing. You know, it was amazing, as we did the youth, but to have the grade sixes with us. And then I noticed something so amazing about this grade six group, that they have already built relationships. They're already encouraging each other. They're already spurring each other on. And as they head into youth ministry and high school, ultimately, like, they're already a gang of kids that will encourage each other and journey in faith together. And this is possible because people are investing in these things. And so I just want to encourage you to think about that. Maybe you don't notice it, but sometimes there's one of our team leaders for Kids Quest that when she's serving that day, she's worshiping her heart out in the back of the room, just kind of like with all of us, because she loves to worship just before she heads into Kids Quest and serves these kids. Some of our volunteers come at one gathering to learn and grow and worship with us, and then they serve in the next gathering. Sometimes they come along to serve, and their families join them in the next gathering, or vice versa. They're really sacrificing to make this happen, but also to keep growing with us. That's so incredible to me, and you would be surprised in a pleasant way how some of our mentors prepare, like how they really lean in to understanding the scriptures they're going to be sharing along those lines. And I bet if you ask one of the kids today, you know, is there someone in your journey with Kids Quest that you would highlight, many of them would share about a couple of mentors or helpers along the way that have just made such an incredible impact. And then there's behind the scenes, administration, planning, preparation, communication, all that kind of stuff, all that's happening for kids. Isn't that amazing? It's so wonderful. We want to pray for that. Now I want to switch to youth and young adults, and I'm going to bring Mel back up. Mel and Logan did a great job hosting today, and Mel, why don't you come up? We're going to interview her. Mel is well, I'll let her tell you who she is, right? Sounds good?
Hi.
Let's do that. Mel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So tell us just kind of briefly, like, how old you are and what you're doing in life these days, what's happening in your life these days.
I'm 23, and I study at Concordia at JMSB.
That's it? That's all your life?
Yeah, pretty much
okay.
It.
Cool. Just checking. So here's a question to help us understand this. Like, how are you participating in the life of the church as a whole?
So I've been attending Westside since I was 16, and I was going to youth night every Friday night, and then COVID, and then I became a young adult, and then I started going to young adults Bible studies, and obviously Sunday mornings. And more recently, I participated in Alpha about 2 years ago, and that was the first time I participated in a community group with adults, and with new people other than my friends and other young adults that I'm used to growing spiritually with. And yeah, my experience participating in Alpha was really good. I met a lot of new people, a lot of older people, and people that were all in different stages of their spiritual growth. So that was really cool because I got to see a lot of different perspectives, and we had a lot of questions and good conversations.
So it was positive to be in an environment with a whole bunch of different ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. How are you serving and engaged at Westside these days?
So I'm a youth leader. So on Friday nights, I serve with the teenagers, apart from imparting my wisdom on all of them. I just like any
other.
They
must take a lot of notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I
love they have to. just like any other youth leader, I lead games, Bible studies, small group discussions. I also do the Instagram for the youth page.
That's amazing. So why is serving in youth important for you?
I love it because I like to just be there with them, support them, and watch them grow in their relationship with God. Youth for me was really crucial in my teenage years, especially because I was one of the only Christians in my high school, and I know that a lot of our teams relate with that. Youth was a place where I felt belonging, and it felt like a place where I could just be myself, and I wasn't afraid to ask questions that maybe I would be afraid to ask other people at school, because we all believe the same things, and we could all help each other. So I love that we can create a space like that here for our teenagers, and I love watching them help each other out through those struggles, and also watching them grow in their relationship with God, especially our past few winter retreats were really nice. We really saw God moving a lot, and we recently had one of our youth get baptized, so that was really cool to see.
Amazing. So if you would describe what you think or sense God is doing among youth or this generation, and maybe particularly among us, how would you describe it?
I can see that they're servants. They have servant hearts, and they love to serve, which is why the Sunday was such a good thing to do, because it really gave a lot of the teenagers an opportunity to practice their gifts in serving.
Amazing. So what's your hope? What do you hope the church, our church in general, what's your hope for the future?
I hope that as the church grows, we stay... we keep that community aspect, because as much as it gets bigger, I love that it always feels like a family. And I think that in order for us to do that, I encourage everyone to participate in groups and participate in serving. So especially parents, encourage your kids to go to Kids Quest, your teenagers to go to youth, young adults join Bible studies and community groups, adults join community groups. You learn so much, and you meet so many people, and especially parents and adults, be examples for your kids, because that's how I learned. My mom was such a great example to me. She taught me how to be loyal, and she really showed how much she loved the church and how much she loved to serve every Sunday. So just watching her really inspired me, and that's why I love to do it today too, and that's how my habits were built.
It's amazing. So, wow, so cool. So, okay, one more thing. You participated in something called the Student Leadership Cohort the last couple of years as a youth mentor with grade 10 students. What is that?
So I brought two students this year and one student last year to Muskoka in Ontario to a leadership conference, and they learned how to be leaders in their schools and how to be missionaries in within their high school and in their communities. And I really liked it because it was really cool to see how passionate these 15 and 16-year-olds were for God and for his mission. And it's really cool to see them develop their leadership skills and their willingness to spread the gospel in their communities.
That's neat. So Danielle, one of our students shared in the 9 o'clock, she's not here at the 11, how would you maybe summarize their experience on this weekend?
Is there a video, I think? Oh.
No.
Oh, I can read what she said.
Oh, yeah?
I have it on my phone over there.
Okay, go
for
it.
Sorry. It's in my bag. Thank you. It was so well written, I have to read it.
Go for it. And you know, before Mel reads that, we asked Danielle and others to share something, and Danielle said initially, I'm not sure what to say at first, because she was trying to reflect back, and it was hard for her, but I just love what she shared, and so amazing. When you think you have nothing to share, then you share this, so go for it.
Yeah. First of all, I want to thank the Westside Gathering community for this opportunity. SLC was a very meaningful experience and one of the most valuable lessons I learned that was an important wake-up call was to see and recognize what a privilege and a blessing it is to be able to be a Christian. At SLC, I was taught to take my role as a Christian very seriously and shown practical ways to do this. An ever-present awareness of your faith is really key, because very often do people forget that they are Christians when they are not in church, being tempted or being blessed. Being Christian ought to shape how we view life. This is where some of the other lessons that the Student Leadership Collective taught us came in, like love. That is an important thing in a Christian's life. SLC at Alpha is an experience that I would recommend to any young person. It helps take your faith to the next level, which I think is important. As Apostle Paul says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. We as teenagers cannot remain children spiritually.
Amazing. So just so you know what it is, Alpha Canada, the ministry that we partner with when we host Alpha here at our church, they host a student leadership cohort every year for grade 10 students across Canada. And they invite the churches like ours to refer or send grade 10 students if they'd like to participate. And they also, the requirement is that we send a youth leader along with them for this weekend and the six-month cohort that they're participating in. So Mel got a chance these last couple of years to walk with three students. We're hoping every year we can encourage a gang of grade 10s to go and be a part of this. It's such a wonderful experience. And it also helps us overlap what we're doing with Alpha. So it's really, really great. Mel, thank you so much. Let's give Mel a hand. Amazing. Helps us know how to pray and invest in youth. I'm going to shift a little bit to young adults briefly, and there's so much I can say about our young adult community and their community groups and Bible studies and events and the relationships they're building and the faith they're growing together, but I want to read from one particularly young adult. It's actually Cassia Wayne. She's 25 years old. And she has been part of our youth ministry, serving in many ways, Bible studies, mentoring, discipleship activities. She's been engaged in our young adult community as well. And as many of you know, Cassie has been really walking through a difficult season where she had discovered a tumor in her brain. And she's had one surgery, waiting for a second one. But in this season, just wrestling through that. And I reached out to Cassia and asked her if she would be able to share a bit of how she's experiencing God in this season. I was hesitant, you know, to ask for someone to share in the middle of a season like this. And yet, because I saw how her and Given and her family have been just experiencing the Lord in this difficult time, I chatted with Cassie about it, and she wrote this for us, and so I'm going to read it. And so I want you to just consider this is coming from a 25-year-old who's going through a really difficult time. So she writes these words: "This has been such a difficult season of physical and emotional pain. Some of my hardest days have been when I was initially told I had a large tumor in my brain, when I had gone to get an MRI and expected nothing, and when I was officially diagnosed with grade 2 astrocytoma and told I basically had a medium of 7 years left of life. The enemy has already lost, though, because instead of suffering pushing me away from God, God has actually drawn me close to him and strengthened my faith, trust, and dedication. No matter what happens, I surrender everything to God and know that he is good and faithful and present. God has also used and united the body of Christ to show me so much love and hope. I am beyond grateful to see Westside unite in prayer, generosity, fasting, and genuine love and sacrifice. In this season, God is refining and transforming the faith of everyone involved. And not only has Westside blessed me, but hundreds of people are praying and caring for me from across Canada, around the world, whether I know them or not. He is showing us how to be the body of Christ. When I was a teenager, I struggled deeply with depression and held on to this belief that God had forsaken me. But now, no matter what, you could never convince me of that. I've heard Romans 5:3-4 many times. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. But now I can actually feel the truth of those words. So I thank God for his constant love and faithfulness to me, even in the valley. And I'm so grateful for how he has used each of you, Cassia." We want to keep praying for Cassia. There's an initiative that was a day of fasting last Monday. We're doing another one this Monday, starting after supper tonight, up until supper tomorrow night. We encourage you to lean in and to fast and pray. We're trusting the Lord to be at work in the middle of this for healing and restoration. So we want to pray in faith in that way. There's also a prayer gathering at noon tomorrow, here for 1 hour or online, and all the information for fasting or sign up or prayer here, you can find it on our website, on our event page, and you can participate in that way. But let's just pause and pray for Cassia before I continue. God, we stand with Cassia and Given and the family as they walk through this, and yet in a strange way, God, you also are encouraging us in this moment to hear her story and to see her faith rise up and to be an example to us and to speak to us. So we thank you, God, that you have enabled her to be present to you in the middle of this, and you have been present with her. Thank you, God, that she has been able to grow in her nearness to you and experience your nearness to her. God, we pray in faith for restoration, for healing in Jesus' name. We trust in faith that you have her. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to come back to this little phrase from Ephesians 3 and help us just see this beautiful picture that we read in this prayer, but that's really not just in this prayer. It's really all over the scriptures. But Paul prays, right, throughout all generations, you know, glory in the church throughout all generations. That word is so important for us. When we read that word in the scriptures and we think about that word throughout the biblical story, that really it means that we're part of this bigger story. We're part of a bigger picture. We're part of a bigger community. In fact, we're part of a bigger timeline, not just us in 2026 here in Montreal on this side of the world. But when we read the word generations in Scripture, it demonstrates to us that we are part of the ongoing life and witness and worship of the church. that was present in these early believers, right, when Paul's writing this letter to this first century church, but it's beyond those early believers. It didn't stop with them. In fact, the story of Christ's followers started 2,000 years ago, but the story of God working through Abraham and Israel for a plan to restore the world started many, many years before that. And Christ's coming became the fulfillment of Israel's story, and God has called his church to grow and learn and to bear witness to God's kingdom in our world. And so when we say generations, we're part of a bigger story. We're part of the life and worship and witness of the church throughout all generations. And when we look at the word generations in Scripture, I'd really encourage you to just do a word search. Just, you know, look at all the ways generations is used in the Scriptures. And you're going to be fascinated by it. It's such a robust use of the word throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament. It's amazing. And you will get to see that God has been doing something that was not just meant for one people. Like, we don't read the Scriptures. Of course, we first read it through the eyes of those who experienced it. But then we recognize, oh, that's not just for them, that's for us. We recognize that didn't just happen to them, it can happen to us. We recognize that Easter didn't just happen when it happened, but it continues to happen as people's lives are transformed because of the resurrection of Jesus. And so we recognize that what God has been doing in the world was never just meant for one generation. It's meant for all generations. And that helps us recognize that it's not just for my generation, me, Dave Manifold, in his 30s, I mean 50s, born in the 70s, 1970s. and so it's not just for me. I had wonderful experiences with God, and I still do. And there's moments I can look back to, and it can almost feel like you want to be nostalgic, but I'm not called to just live in those moments. I'm called to continue and to be part of a community called the church that is for all generations. And so in the book of Genesis, you read this phrase come up quite often, the generations to come. And it pops up so often in the first book of the Scriptures. It's this passing on of what God has done in their lives for others. As you move to the book of Deuteronomy, there's a phrase in Deuteronomy that I think is so helpful for us, and it's great for Father's Day today. Deuteronomy 32:7 says these words, "Remember the days of old, consider the generations long past, but check this out, ask your father and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain it to you." In other words, now here's the writing is meant for this current generation to look back to the earlier generations and to ask those who are around, hey, tell us the stories. Tell us what happened. Help us understand this. We need to hear this, right? And so it's amazing for dads right here. I think it's important. If you're a dad in this place, you have a wonderful opportunity to tell the story to your kids of what God has done in your life. You have incredible opportunity to share wisdom with your children. I look back to my dad. He passed away over 20 years ago, but there's so many moments of wisdom and stories and insight that he shared with me. And there's phrases and lines that come back to my mind so often where my dad encouraged me in areas of faith, in areas of life, in areas of work, in areas of relationships. He told me. He passed these things on. He told me the stories of when he experienced God in earlier years, and that was so helpful for me. And so, dads, you can be an instrument of this, but it's not just dads. It's elders, right? It says elders. In other words, a previous generation can pass on wisdom and faith to the next generation. One of our newest part of our youth team is a 70-ish-year-old woman. She's on our youth team, and they love her. This next generation is hungry for wisdom and relationship and encouragement, and it's so good to do that. So regardless your age, we have an opportunity for that. But if you're a dad today in Father's Day, just remember that. We cherish your role and celebrate that. By the way, on your way out, there's a gift for you, okay? So make sure you get that gift on the way out, as Logan told us. And here's this other phrase from the Psalms that talks about generations. It's Psalm 32 or 33:11 says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." The purposes of his heart. Not just the things God has done, not just the things God has said, but the purposes of his heart, that God's heart would be transmitted for generations to come, that the purposes of his heart would continue to be spread out through all generations. And so I want to ask that question again that I asked earlier. What is that more in the prayer from Ephesians that God might be doing among us? Immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power at work within us. And then he says that phrase, right? Have glory. To him be glory in the church. In the church. In this community. To him be glory in the church. And in Christ Jesus. Throughout all generations. Forever and ever. So here's my invitation to you. You and I, we're invited to be part of this. We're invited to be part of a multi-generational community. We're invited to be part of this, and we're called to be intentional about it. We're not just to sit with the invitation. We're called to do something with it. And that's so important for you and me. Now, this theme of generations, I promise you, it's going to filter into our fall teaching this fall, and it's going to filter into how we start re-describing our vision to one another, because God has really helped us see something we already do and already have, but now we want to start naming it a little bit more clearly, that we really are a church for all generations, and we're experiencing that more and more. We will talk about that. But for today, because it's Next Gen Sunday, I just want to focus as we wrap up, to focus on the next generation, to think about the next generation, because you and I have this wonderful opportunity. We're invited to be intentional about how we are present with and invest in the next generation. And here's what Paul writes around how our involvement works. God's power at work through you, through us. Like, God wants to work, but isn't it amazing? He says his power works through you, through us. That as we had this incredible, you know, crowd of Kids Quest volunteers here come and stand up today, through them, God is at work. God's power at work through them. That our 9 or 10 person youth team, God's at work through them. That when you pause and are present with someone from the next generation, God's at work through you. And so that's really, really important for us to understand. So I'm going to invite you today as we close to partner with us in leading and encouraging and discipling and giving space for this generation to also lead, like we saw a bit today. And what we saw today gives us confidence in the little glimpses of it. And I think as we do this in years to come, we're going to see more and more of it. But I want to invite you to partner with really simple, 5 simple ways. I'm not preaching another sermon. I'm going to say them really quick. I promise. So first way, to celebrate. How do we celebrate? That means that we look around, we see the kids singing, we bump into kids or teens in the hall, we talk to a young adult who's in the early stages of their career and figuring things out, and we celebrate. God, thank you. Thank you that, you know, 30% or more of our church is under the age of 25. It's crazy to think about that on an average Sunday morning when 350 or 370 people are in this space over 2 gatherings, that about 130 or 140 of them are under the age of 25. We need to celebrate that. We need to celebrate that and celebrate every one of them. We need to pray for this next generation. And so if you have a list of prayer points in your journal or on your Bible, or if you have prompts on your phone, include the next generation. Be specific for our ministries. Be specific for the age groups. Maybe some people that you meet, you can start praying for them and start really asking God to be at work in their lives. So pray for the next generation. The next thing is be present for the next generation. We have this disproportionate opportunity, especially in our church. We have access to it. You don't have to go anywhere to find a young person. They're like right here on a Sunday morning. Be present with them. That might mean just asking questions. I heard a youth pastor that's still in his 50s in youth ministry. I love it. And he says, when you're talking to a teen, get past the 3rd question. Like, if you just stop at 3, you probably just find out, like, you know, what are they like in school and, you know, what neighborhood or whatever they live in, and maybe what color they like. But if you can get past the 3rd question, you'll start to hear and understand the next generation more. Maybe with the younger ones, it means kind of just, you know, getting a little bit lower down to their level and like looking at them straight in the eye and saying hi and seeing how they're doing and noticing their name tag and just saying hi. Or maybe you pop out of your seat when they walk out for Kids Quest and you literally high-five them on their way out and you encourage them. To be present with the next generation is so important. If you meet a young adult and you can actually... especially with young adult years in their 20s, you can spend time with them and maybe there's something they need in their life, you know? I have a crazy, wonderful story about someone in our church who is who's older, in their 70s, and she loves to cook, and there was a young guy in our 20s that also loves to cook, and they were talking about samosas and different spices from her culture, and so they both attended the 9 o'clock gathering, and then that day, she said, well, why don't we go to the ethnic grocery store, and we'll pick you up, you'll get all the ingredients you need. So a 70-ish person and a 20-something person, they went to the grocery store in the West Island, and they picked up ingredients to learn how to cook. Isn't that amazing? I thought you would be like much more happy with that. I find that so cool. And it happened out of church. Like it happened here, right? Be present with the next generation. Last two, serve. Let's serve the next generation. I don't know. I have no like logical reason why God has said, West Side, you are going to have a disproportionate percentage of young people in your church community. I don't know why, but it is. It's the case. And so we have it. And so we have a responsibility to steward our resources and our gifts and our environments for the next generation. And so I want to invite you, as you hear this invitation to serve, like as an example, outside in the lobby, a Kids Quest has a beautiful display in how to serve, and some of you guys got lollipops when you walked in about Kids Quest. It doesn't mean that 350 people are going to serve in Kids Quest, but I'm sure there's a percentage that God is nudging on your heart. Where can you serve? In youth or young adults or kids, or maybe it's a support ministry that helps them this coming fall. You know, they're praying for 13 or 14 minimum to join this fall as some take a break or step out or go serve in another ministry. That just happens with our kind of church. Maybe our summer. We can't serve them all the grades this summer, and we can't fully resource it because we want our teams to be ready for the fall. Maybe you might step in to help this summer. But I just encourage you to think about that. Serve. And before you head out, walk out of the building today, walk by that booth. There's a way to serve in different ministries, but think about the next generation today. And then lastly, give. And obviously, with such a large percentage of young people in our church, a portion of our resources goes to serve that, whether it's supplies, whether it's this space, whether it's ministry programming. We're looking to still staff to serve the next generation, both youth and kids and in other ways, and that does take funds. And I just want to encourage you to think about this. If Westside is your church, you know, if you're a guest here today, or like, we're not asking you to fund the next generation of what we do. We actually, people have funded to be here so you could be here. We want to bless you. So this is a blessing for you. But if you're part of our church community, and Westside is your home church, and you're growing with us and serving with us, there are so many people who give proportionately to their income consistently so we can minister the way we do. And if you're not in that pocket yet and you haven't maybe responded to the Lord's invitation to also use your income to serve ministry in the next generation, then I invite you to do that because we need to invest in this. We want to add additional staff and other resources because it's just right in front of us, right? So if that's you, I just encourage you to do that, to start that. Maybe today, maybe God might just prompt you as a start, as a step of obedience, to give some kind of amount that he puts on your heart, knowing that we are a church that resources the next generation. So celebrate, pray, be present with, and give. Amen? Sounds good? Simple. It can happen according to his power that is at work within us, right? God brings all that together, and he can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Can you stand with me? I'm going to close, and I'm going to, as I pray, our team's going to come up again, just to our hosting team to wrap us up. But let's pray together. And I think we're going to have a prayer team available. Marlon and Laura are there. And I know this is a different kind of gathering, and maybe we haven't invited you to take a spiritual growth step. Actually, we have. This is a spiritual growth step, serving the next generation. But if you need prayer today and anything else, go see our prayer team. If God's prompting your heart about something, maybe to pray for the next generation, hey, just go partner with them in prayer for it. But let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we call you Father because your Spirit is in us. Our spirit can bear witness to your Spirit and call you Abba Father. What a beautiful invitation and possibility is made real to us because of our faith in you through Christ. And that also reminds us of how we're your children. And we think of the next generation, God. We thank you, God. We didn't choose or overly manufacture something that allows our church to have more of the next generation than others. We don't know fully why, but we do love it. We celebrate it. We want to be present with this generation. We want to serve them and give towards this, Lord. And so you have given us this responsibility. We want to steward it well. I thank you, God, for people that have come before us, people in our own church that have, in earlier years, have served and invested and given of their funds. And part of that has seeded what we see today. May we be active in our time right now to seed what's going on in this moment and to seed what's coming next. We want to partner with you, Lord, knowing that you can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And we're so grateful that it's according to your power at work within us. We don't conjure this up. We desperately need you to equip us and empower us in this work. And we pray for this next generation, not only those who are part of our church, but those who aren't, those who are out in our communities and neighborhoods and schools, those who are in their transition years and figuring out school and work and relationships, God. We pray, Lord, we pray for some of the struggles that we understand and know that hit this generation, things like anxiety and isolation and fear of the future, God. We just lift up this generation to you. We know that it's not a surprise to you. You can be at work in their lives in this moment, and we want to be a community that makes space for that. And be ones that serve and invest in that, Lord, for your glory. So glory be in your church, in our church, Lord. You've created us in this way and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless everyone as our team wraps it up.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message helped guide you on your spiritual journey of discovering the life and message of Jesus. We update this podcast weekly, so why not hit subscribe and journey with us? Who are we? Westside Gathering is a local church in the West Island of Montreal. We're a simple community of faith where we want you to feel welcome regardless of where you are on your spiritual journey and hope you can grow with us. We meet every Sunday, but you can also find smaller groups, environments, and resources for all ages between Sundays. We would love to hear from you, ask a question, ask for help, or let us know how we can pray for you. Find out more at westsidegathering.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Vimeo. If you'd like to contribute financially, just go to westsidegathering.com/giving. Until next time, peace.